Everyone needs a pastor. A visit to the Pastor's Study brings biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you and pastoral ministry from those with proven experience in Christian service. Our time together will be lively, sometimes controversial, always useful, and never dull. Welcome to the study of Pastor Bill Shishko.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor John Shishko, guest hosting once again for Pastor Bill Shishko. And today we're discussing the uncomfortable topic of abortion. Google for a definition and you'll get abortion, the deliberate termination of a human pregnancy. Just the word abortion and that simple definition of it begin to evoke feelings. As you listen, notice how your emotions start to rise to the surface. Think of a child you love, one of your own, or a beloved niece or nephew, grandson or granddaughter. See that boy or girl in their vibrant, beautiful personality, full of potential, a unique expression of the miracle of life, a person and a personality, more valuable than any opportunity, any amount of money. A person and a personality that began before even being born. And take your thoughts to that point prior to birth. Modern science helps us imagine more of what it's like. Warmth, shelter, sustenance, safety. Mom isn't just carrying future life. Mom is caring for life itself. By God's design, mom is security for her child, a life-giving safe haven for the first 9 months of life. Life within life, safety for the most innocent, helpless, and needy. Consider now that in the United States, one out of every five little unborn personalities who know nothing but their mother's constant nurture and provision are suddenly killed by abortion, a deliberate termination. Consider that the termination is often done by vacuuming the child out of their safe haven or by using narrow forceps which break and pry the child out. As grisly as these options are, even worse options are available. In Sweden, 80% of second trimester abortions are labor-induced abortions in which labor is induced and the baby is prematurely born and terminated. The termination of the children is performed through tactics reminiscent of the Holocaust, a pre-abortion injection of potassium chloride into the unborn baby softens the baby's bones, which enables, quote-unquote, decompression, a slightly nicer way to say the crushing of the child's skull and other bones that get in the way of the extraction. Consider how frequently these abortions happen. Not occasionally. Hundreds of thousands a year in the United States alone. Millions worldwide. 60 million reported abortions in the United States since it was legalized in 1973. Innocent life terminated. A decades-long holocaust of the most undeserving and innocent. Finally, consider how plainly Scripture speaks of life before birth. Thousands of years ago, King David the psalmist wrote, "You formed me, my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance." These many years later, all our technology and science continue to reveal the mystery and miracle of life in the womb. And some of that same technology and science is used to destroy it. And it's right here that we need to stop and remember something absolutely critical. Most, if not all of us, we hear these things and we're filled with some combination of horror and grief and rage. But then we often take a wrong step. Our next step often reflects nothing but our rage. We denounce these things in the loudest terms. Abortion is murder. We march. We picket, we protest, and too often, without even realizing it, us sinners, who have been saved by grace, have become graceless towards those who most need the grace by which we have been saved. We cease seeing ourselves as sinners, and we do that by pointing at those we think have sinned in ways worse than we have. Churches become places where those most in need of forgiveness are ostracized and shamed. I still haven't mentioned the most stunning statistic about abortion. The most stunning statistic about abortion is that 1/4 of them are had by people that go to church. You see, when churches shame and guilt instead of offering grace and forgiveness, though they denounce, picket, and protest, though they speak ever so loudly, they end up contributing to the atrocity right alongside the rest of the world. We need to remember what the Scripture says: the righteousness of God is not worked by the anger of men. We need to remember that the very glory of Jesus Christ is that he didn't just come in truth, but he came full of grace and truth. Not truth and rage, grace and truth. We read, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Us sinners are often quicker to condemn other sinners than the holy God is to do so. Jesus Christ demonstrates this throughout his life. He is the friend of thieves and prostitutes. He speaks with immoral women. He offers eternal life and forgiveness to the worst of sinners. He never compromises the truth. He never alters the law of God. But he comes not in rage and truth, but in grace and truth. He doesn't waste his life otherizing and ostracizing. He denounces sin while loving the sinner. He is known to all as the friend of sinners. And that's good news, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's an uncomfortable topic, but we'll be talking about abortion today, the title of the show, Abortion: What Should Christians Do About It? I have the privilege of being here with Doreen Jansen, Director of Soundview Pregnancy Services, which meets in two locations, one in Center Reach and one in East Meadow. Doreen, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Great. We have a lot to talk about. We talked a little bit previously, and I think we are very much of the same mind that while Christians feel very strongly about this and should, we often struggle with what exactly we should be doing about it. So I'm glad to have you with us here today. And I just want to say from the outset that this is a call-in show, and that you should feel free to call in to ask questions. It's actually a good forum for speaking to us in case you hear something that triggers your thoughts. So anyway, with that being said, Doreen, why don't we just talk about a few different things that come to mind immediately. First of all, Soundview Pregnancy Center. Soundview is not a word that we tend to use regularly, and I just wondered if you would talk to us a little bit about that name itself, that Soundview of the pregnancy services.
Absolutely. This ministry has been on Long Island basically since the late 80s.
Okay.
So we've been around, you know, for almost 30 years, and we were known as the Care Center. And in 2014, we went medical, which means that we were now going to be able to offer sonograms to our clients, because statistically 90% of women who saw their baby on a sonogram chose life. So we decided as a ministry that this was vital, that we wanted to use every opportunity to show the truth to these young women. And so Soundview really comes from a couple of things. It's an ultrasound view into the womb, and we're offering them biblically sound views on the issues of life. And being a Long Island organization, you know, we just felt that it just fit, you know, just in the demographic where we are. And when women walk into our center, they feel very relaxed. It's a very calming environment. We have lots of, you know, water, you know, pictures on the walls. They just feel very safe and very comfortable when they come into our offices. So,
I love the title because, it's a sound view, as in it's a reliable, trustworthy take on pregnancy and life.
Yes.
But then instead of having to belabor all of the truths that we believe about the image of God and life, even inside the womb in the first 9 months, you can just show them that truth. And, you know, in that sense, seeing really does become believing.
It really does. The transformation that happens on a woman's facial expressions alone when she walks in, and you can just see that burden and that heaviness and that fear in her eyes. And then when she sees that heartbeat in as early as a 6-week-old baby on the screen, you know, so many times it's been reported by our nurses that their expressions just completely changed to, you know, one of just, you know, very, very concerned and serious to smiling, you know, and just they're just in disbelief that there's actually this human being inside of me.
Wow.
And it really does change their hearts.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. What wonderful work. So again, that's in you're in East Meadow and in Center Reach?
Yes.
The two offices, which is really a tremendous blessing. And going medical means that you have access to the sonograms and other capacities within those two locations.
Now, yes.
What number or email address would we use to get in touch with you if anybody listening is interested?
Sure. Our website is soundviewpregnancy.com. And our East Meadow location, their phone number is 516-430-7990. And in Center Reach, you could reach us at 631-676-7990.
Great. Thank you. And our number here in the studio, again, please feel free to call in at 631-955-5400. Now, in preparing the monologue, which was one of the harder things I've had to do, I can't help but reflect on, I suppose, a earlier version of me, especially having three children and holding them the day they were born in my own arms and understanding how precious and beautiful life is, and this sort of rage that is a response to abortion and how terrible it is. That was my experience, and sort of exclusively my experience early on. And now as a pastor, I work with people who have either had an abortion in their background, or perhaps a man who has funded an abortion for a girlfriend or whatever it might be. And it has so changed how I communicate. I don't think my beliefs concerning life before birth have changed at all. But my approach has changed because I've begun to understand that it's another sin and sinners need grace. And I just wonder if you would talk to us a little bit about, before we get into ways the church and Christians can help, what are ways that churches and Christians, well-meaning, but tend to fail and actually make things worse?
Mm-hmm. I think what you said is absolutely right. I think that we are so offended at the idea that anyone would even think about having an abortion, or who has had an abortion, that our first response is anger. And that is widespread and felt amongst churchgoers. And a Lifeway research that was done back in 2015 showed that, as you mentioned, 1 in 4 women who have had abortions are regular churchgoers. And the church had nothing to do with their decision whether or not they were going to have an abortion, because they never discussed it with anybody in the church, because 85% of them felt that they would be judged, that they would be condemned, and that they would not receive the help that they needed, and that it would ruin their relationships with people within the church. So we're actually driving our own people to the abortion clinic for fear of the shame and the condemnation. I think that we are missing a crucial opportunity for discipleship in this decision. I think crisis pregnancy has been viewed as a social issue and a social service issue, whether or not the woman can afford to have a child or whether or not she's married and so on. What I believe is that the church can really embrace this young woman the way Jesus embraced the young women who were caught in sin.
Yeah.
I think of the woman who was caught in adultery, and as she stood there and everybody in the circle had a stone ready to stone her, you know, Jesus turned and looked at each one of them and said, "He who has no sin, cast that first stone." And we know the story.
Right.
But the way that he treated that woman was with compassion and with love. And he didn't sugarcoat what he was expecting of her from that point forward. He said, "Now go and sin no more." And I believe that we need to continue to look to Jesus as the model of how we deal with sin.
Yeah.
And this is just a sin. This is one sin. We have a tendency to put it on a measuring stick. Well, this sin is greater than that sin. And I don't believe that's how God sees our sin. God sees all sin as sin. And so when we can treat this woman, this young girl who is now in an emotional crisis, in a social crisis, she's so afraid that she's going to lose the boyfriend, the father, her own father, the relationship with her own father. That alone, I have to tell you, the fear of telling my parents is so prevalent in this decision that they just go and they'll just get the abortion because they're afraid of losing that relationship or shaming their family. So I guess to answer your question, what can we do or not do as a church is to respond with compassion first. Find out more about why this woman might be considering having an abortion.
Yeah.
And help her in that process, that emotional process of breaking down this decision and dealing with each one of those concerns or issues that she has with love, with truth, and with grace.
Right. Yeah, it's always fascinating just to think of Jesus and not just how he was with the woman caught in adultery or the woman at the well or the woman who was loved much because she was forgiven much and her sin was immorality. But even Jesus's teaching, you know, he would have us look at any sin like abortion and then see our sin reflected in it instead of a sin to point at. He's so clear in the Sermon on the Mount that, you know, if you hate your brother, you've murdered it in your heart. And it's it should be just a very humbling experience to know just the depth of sin inside all of us instead of something to point at and become enraged over. And I think one thing we would always profit from hearing from you and your experience in working with young women, I guess talk to us a little bit just about the situation of it being the woman stuck with the pregnancy. I mean, the guy plays this role in whatever goes on that results in a pregnancy and can either stick around or not. And so frequently, it's just all left in the woman's situation. Is that what you find to usually be the catalyst to considering abortion?
I think the man, the young man in the crisis pregnancy has the most influence in this decision.
Wow.
And sadly, very often the young men are not stepping up and taking responsibility for the pregnancy. And I think, you know, to some degree, men have been made to feel like it's not your decision. It's a woman's body. It's her choice.
Oh,
and even men who want the girl to go ahead and have the baby feel that, well, they can't really enforce that decision on her. And so they'll just say, "I'll support whatever you do." That's really not what she wants to hear right now. She wants to hear, "I'm here for you and we're going to do this and we're going to make this happen."
Yeah.
We are very interested in having the girl bring in her boyfriend so that he too can see the sonogram. We believe that this is a decision for both, you know, the man and the woman. And what we are finding all too often is that men are left waiting in the waiting room, made to feel like the boyfriend and not the father of the baby.
Wow.
And so I believe we need to change that mindset in the pregnancy centers as well, who, you know, it's all about the woman, it's all about the baby, it's all about saving. Well, no, it's about building a family.
Right.
This is a family being formed, and the man has to know how vital he is to this woman, to this child, and he has to know that he's going to be supported in this decision, and that we're there to help them. We're there to help them not only in the decision-making process, but we have coaching available for women, for families. And what we'd really love is to have, and we're working on this, this is one of our goals, is to have a male advocate program where we can actually have godly men coming in and mentoring these young men.
Wow. Yeah,
who
that's a phenomenal
would
idea.
Love to make this decision, but they feel like, I'm just so not equipped.
Sure.
We want to equip these young men. And a lot of these young men don't have that role model or that experience. Mm-hmm. They're just as scared as she is. And so we do need to reach out to the young men.
That's excellent. We're going to take a very quick break, and we'll be back with more about what the church and Christians can actually do to help with the abortion situation.
That great city, New York. Metropolitan New York is the largest city in the United States. And with a population of over 20 million people, Metro New York is one of the largest cities in the world. And what's more, Metro New York is home to people from every nation of the world. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. But churches faithful to historic Reformation Christianity in the Metro New York area are few and far between. The mission fields of Metro New York are America's richest and most neglected. Reformation Metro New York is an agency by which the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is planting and developing biblically faithful churches and church ministries in the Metro New York area. Through Reformation Metro New York, you can help promote the outreach of this program, A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and other projects designed to further the ongoing reformation of the church. That and church planting are the great passions of Reformation Metro New York. For more information, check out the website at reformationmetrony.org, where you'll get a personal look at the ministries of the churches, pastors, evangelists, and teachers of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in the area, and you'll learn how you can be a part of our labors. We need your help. Here's the site again, reformationmetrony.org. Thanks for your interest and your help. Remember that great city, New York. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. Now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
John Shishko here again on A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Our studio number is 631-955-5400. That's 631-955-5400. We'd love to have you call in. I'm here today with Doreen Jansen, director at Soundview Pregnancy Services, and we're talking about their work in counseling people that have found out that they're pregnant, expecting a child to be born, and already providing for that new life within them, and have the privilege of showing them that life through an ultrasound, and hence the name Soundview Pregnancy Services. Doreen, why don't you talk just a little bit more? I think this idea is sadly not too familiar to most of us about what a pregnancy counseling service center or a crisis pregnancy center does. What sort of things does Soundview Pregnancy Services do or offer?
Well, I love Soundview Pregnancy Services because we offer a full scope of ministry, but also not only from a spiritual point of view, but from a very practical point of view, and also medical services. So what I mean by that is a young woman would walk through our doors suspecting that she's pregnant. We'd offer her a free pregnancy test. And I'll have to just mention that all of our services are free.
Great.
We are a nonprofit organization completely supported by churches and individuals, and so that we are able to offer women this service for free, which is huge.
Wow.
Because anywhere else she goes, whether it's a clinic or Planned Parenthood, they're going to charge her an arm and a leg just for a pregnancy test and a sonogram and so on. So if she qualifies for a sonogram, which means that she's at least 6 weeks pregnant, then our nursing team will then take over and bring her into the sonogram room, prep her for the sonogram, and then she will be there with the nurse. Inside the room with her will be a client advocate. So when she originally walks in and she starts to debrief on what's going on, what her situation is, we have a very small window of opportunity to really understand the scope of what she's dealing with and where her mindset is. Is she abortion-minded? Is she abortion-vulnerable? Is she excited about the pregnancy? And then, again, so then that client advocate will go with her into the sonogram room. So as the nurse is getting the images that she needs to see, the client advocate is there talking with her and trying to get her to feel comfortable and just carrying on their conversation. When the nurse finally gets the images that she needs to see, then she will project them onto a widescreen monitor on the wall so that this young girl can see that baby, on a 50-inch screen. And so it really comes to life right there in front of her. And then the client advocate is then right there with her to be able to ask her, well, how does that make you feel and what are you thinking now? And so, the counseling is going on in that moment where she's in that crisis and her emotions and her mind are just going in a million different directions. That client advocate is there to guide her through that emotional process. Once the sonogram is completed, they go back into the intake room where she'll sit down and she'll then talk about how does she feel now that she's seen the baby and what is her decision. She may not be in a position to make a decision right in that moment, but we want to know what she's thinking. And so then we start to unpack some of the obstacles. We will start to talk to her about those things there. Beyond that, if she chooses to carry the baby to term, we have a number of mentoring programs, educational programs. We have pregnancy information and education, so she can continue to come back to learn about the developing baby. We have a number of healthy relationship kinds of courses that a client advocate will go with her through them and teach her. If she's in a situation in her family or with a boyfriend that is toxic or that she's not able to set, we teach them how to have healthy, what does a healthy relationship look like?
Yeah.
We have discipleship. We have a discipleship mentoring program. And I just want to mention one of the services. This would not be for this particular client, but we offer post-abortion recovery groups as well. So I want to talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But so we really do try to meet this client at the point of her need and offer her the education and the mentoring that is vital for her in her situation. And we mentor and we coach these young women for up to 2 years after their baby is born.
Wow.
So through their pregnancy, then they have their baby. We're still there for them, helping them learn how to change diapers, how to take care of their newborn baby, how to feed their babies, how to potty train. We are there with them for the long haul. And I think that really unhinges the argument that a lot of the pro-choice movement has. Well, sure, it's great you convince this woman to have a baby, but then what?
Right.
Well, we're there for them. As long as they'll have us, we walk with them. We become their safe haven. We become their mentors. They many times will look to some of our women who volunteer their time as their moms, their spiritual moms, or their where they don't have that relationship with their mom. They find that safety here with Soundview.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is so much more comprehensive. Many people don't even know there are these sort of free Christian services out there, counseling, mentoring, regardless of where you're coming from and what the situation is, somebody who is far more familiar with the situation, able to step in. But then after the pregnancy for 2 years,
yes.
I mean, that is just a peak, a very stressful time for any new parent.
Yes.
And what a wonderful thing that's provided, again, for free. I know you have the two locations, Center Reach and East Meadow, for Soundview Pregnancy Services. How many other crisis pregnancy centers are there on Long Island?
We are the only crisis pregnancy center that does what we do.
The comprehensive approach, I see. Wow.
There are other centers on the island, but we are very unique in the way that we approach the client and in the scope of our services.
Yeah, so Christians listening in, I mean, one way all Christians can really help is even just financially support Soundview Pregnancy Services. You've heard here. They offer all of this stuff for free. Obviously, it doesn't cost nothing to offer it. It's like grace. It's expensive but free. It was expensive for Jesus and free to us, and that's the model they're following. So it's one very wonderful way that we can involve ourselves is through volunteering. I would imagine some opportunities to volunteer, but certainly financial support. We're going to take just a moment here so I can talk about this show, A Visit to the Pastor Study, and the fact that it is brought to you by Reformation Metro New York, a not-for-profit that is committed to bringing Reformed thinking and theology to the airwaves through the radio, also committed to establishing various churches wherever we can, planting churches. And I want to say to anybody listening, as you consider this weighty topic of abortion, we're very thankful to work with Soundview Pregnancy Services. We are not those that look and point and say, oh, it's a parachurch. This is members of Christ's church doing what the church needs to do. And we're also thankful to be members of Christ's church. And if you're in the Hamden, Connecticut area, there's an Orthodox Presbyterian church up there. I minister in Queens, Reformation Presbyterian Church in Queens, Fresh Meadows. And there's a church in Bohemia out on Long Island in Suffolk County. There's a church in Syosset, and there's one in Franklin Square, along with many other churches. But I can vouch for these churches. I know the pastors there. I know the standards they uphold and the way they preach and teach. And you're welcome to visit any of them and express your concerns about this topic. And you will be directed lovingly and kindly towards a group like Soundview Pregnancy Services. So check out the visitthepastorsstudy.org, the website, and you can read all about that. I'm here with Doreen Jansen. I want to remind everybody the phone number here is 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. Please call in and express your thoughts on this. We'd love to hear your questions. Doreen, I want to go back to something that's probably not, it's so wonderful that you offer this. It's probably one of the more difficult things to offer and to involve yourself with. Post-abortion counseling, what does that look like, and how does Soundview Pregnancy Services do post-abortion counseling?
We have tried a number of ways to engage with women who have had abortions. We find that whether a woman had an abortion a month ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, she carries around a level of grief, remorse, and shame over this decision. Before I get into exactly what we do, I just want to put a bit of an exclamation point on this, is that this particular sin is so wrapped up in so much secrecy and shame that there are scores of women who are sitting in churches today who have never told anybody that they've had an abortion. And one particular very well-known church here in Long Island had a women's retreat where the pastor's wife, who was leading this retreat, in a prayer time, just really felt the Holy Spirit put it on her heart to offer to women in that prayer time who have had abortions, if they wanted to come forward and to receive prayer and healing from the Lord for that horrible decision that they made, or maybe they were forced to make, that they would acknowledge it and be courageous enough to stand up and say, yes, I have had an abortion, and I am desperately needing to be released and forgiven from this guilt and shame that I feel. And as the prayer time was continuing on, one by one, these women were getting up and walking forward. And the room was just filled. I mean, there was not a dry eye in the room. And more than half the women in that room were standing up at the front of the room. And it was a shockwave that went through. And a lot of these women are leaders in the church. You'd never think, you know, that this had happened to you or to me. And so this pastor's wife felt that there is such bondage in the church over this issue that we need to help women to be released from. And how do we do that? you know, I think we have a tendency to want to counsel women to forgive themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll just have to forgive yourself. You know, this, we justify it. We rationalize. It was the only thing that you could have done in that moment. But that's just never good enough for a woman who the weight of this sin just weighs so heavily on her. And the truth of the matter is that she can't forgive herself.
Right.
Only Jesus
Wow.
can forgive her.
Yes.
And I will confess to you that I am a post-abortive woman myself. And I carried the guilt and shame of what I went through as a teenager. And
Wow.
this was something that was forced on me. This was a rape situation.
Hmm.
And that's another issue we can talk about,
mm-hmm.
the exception of rape and incest. And so I understand the guilt and the shame that that carries for years. And I finally came to a place in my life when I felt that I had been through lots of counseling with this and other issues in my life. But this was the one thing that I just felt that I couldn't let go of, that had kept me in bondage for so many years, even well into, you know, and now I'm having my own children and I've become a believer and I'm a Christian and I understand the forgiveness of Christ, but not for that.
Yeah.
And so I finally came to a place where I just felt God gently speak to me, and he said, not in an audible voice, but I really felt that it was him speaking to me saying, Doreen, if you don't release this guilt and shame, this boulder that you're carrying on your back, you are giving more honor and glory to what the enemy did in your life than what I did for you on the cross.
Wow. Yeah.
And that, in that moment, I felt that that was an insult to the suffering that Christ had been through for me. And it was at that moment that I said, absolutely, I have to lay this down. And do you know that I think it was because of that, of finally getting to that place that I can do what I do today.
Mm-hmm.
Because the word abortion made me nauseous.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't think about it. It just gripped me with fear and disgust
mm-hmm.
and anger. And now God's using what happened to me so many years ago today that now I'm able to help other women come to a place of allowing the blood of Christ to cover even that sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so the logistics of that is that women come in a group setting. We're finding that that's more effective, where women can talk about their feelings with other women who have been through what they've been through. And there's healing and there's forgiveness. And as a matter of fact, coming up in the next week or so, there's going to be a memorial service that women are actually going to be acknowledging the loss of these babies.
Oh, beautiful.
And giving them dignity.
Yes.
And giving those lives respect.
Yeah.
And then there's closure.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's releasing it. It's choosing to release it to the forgiveness of the blood of, in the blood of Christ
mm-hmm.
that covers all sin, and to be free.
Yes.
Be free.
Yeah, blessed is he whose trespasses have been forgiven, whose sin is covered. I know that psalm, and I remember preaching on it, and you hear David just talking about, you know, he can't sleep, he's in anguish, he can't think straight, just life has turned to misery. And then it says, and then I confessed my sins.
Yes.
And again, a sin of secrecy like this, and one that the world says is perfectly legal and probably the right decision, you're not going to get closure in a situation like that, and it will haunt you. And so this is something I'm learning, and thank you for sharing your story. I didn't know that about you, but I've seen in other people's lives, especially with abortion, how the Lord has used them, and very much like the Apostle Paul, author of a third of the New Testament, someone who was responsible, if not actually killing Christians himself.
Yes.
And the Lord used even that sin to make him the champion of God's grace and the author that was so zealous for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can see that in you, and I can only imagine how the Lord uses that to enable you to encourage younger women and people that are going through this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, for everybody listening, again, if it's in your past and it's something you're struggling with, hear Doreen's story and look at how the Lord is using Doreen now. as a trophy of his grace and as someone who is reaching out, extending the kingdom through these wonderful grace and truth services extended to those around us. Doreen, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit because this is, again, I have cases where these things crop up as a pastor, but this is your everyday. Mm-hmm. Someone comes to me and confides in me that they are pregnant, and for whatever reason, they are tempted towards an abortion. They're considering an abortion. What are, how should I respond? How should I start to respond?
Well, I'd like to point out a couple of things that we should not do.
Great.
And then we can talk about what to do. So just really quickly. The first thing would be do not respond with negativity. Hmm. You say, I'm so glad you decided to tell me. Hmm. I'm here for you. You're not alone. And I'm going to walk through this decision with you. Hmm. The second thing would be don't elevate your voice. This may be a shock to you, depending on who you are to this person. But remember that this is not about you. This is about her. Don't lose eye contact with her. Hmm. If she feels that you're looking away from her, she's really looking for that bond of trust with you. Do not use manipulation. Don't try to, you know, make her feel horrible for even thinking about having an abortion. Don't you know that this is a baby? This is a life you're killing. We don't do that. Mm. She doesn't need that in that moment. Mm. And don't confront her. Don't invalidate her feelings. Oh, you know, you'll get over it. You'll be fine. And don't play the blame game. You know, especially I think parents have to feel that they are to blame. My daughter's pregnant. What did I do wrong? Let's not do that. This is not the time to play the blame game. So what can we do? Well, we can offer her, I think you've said it a number of times, GRACE. There's an acronym, it's GLIDE, G-L-I-I-D-E, and this is actually put out by CareNet, who is the national organization that we are affiliated with. Mm. And so I'm actually reading this from their website right now. So the first thing would be to extend GRACE. Mm. You know, obviously you're upset. I can't imagine the feelings and the thoughts that must be running through your head right now. Can you tell me more? Mm. The second thing would be to listen. Ask her questions. How far along are you? How long have you known? Who else have you told? Inquire. You know, just ask some open-ended questions like, thank you for trusting me with this information. How are you doing with everything that's going on? Get her to talk and to express the fears and the concerns that she has. And then I would say inform. I think one of the things that is most important is education. We need to inform her not only about the pregnancy, but about abortion. And we do that in our center. We inform them of the different types of abortions for the different types of for the different stages of pregnancy. There are the medical abortions, the abortion pill, and then there are the surgical abortions. When is that appropriate? What are the risks? What are the complications? The next thing would be to dig deep and digest, take time to help her to think through the positives and the negatives of this decision.
Wow.
You know, go deeper with her because she's reacting right now.
Yeah.
And then the next thing would be empower. And this is the best part of, I believe, what I see, what we do is when we can see that a woman walks in afraid and feeling totally incapable of going through with this pregnancy. And when she walks out the door, she feels empowered.
Yeah.
She feels empowered. And that's the other thing that, if I could just a little side note say, that the pro-choice movement, it's so ironic that they talk about women being empowered, you know, to make their own decisions about their bodies, which it's not really their body, by the way. It's two separate bodies. Mm-hmm. The baby has its own body. Mm-hmm. But what they're really telling a woman is you can't have it all. You have to choose between school, a degree, a career, and a family. You have to choose. You can't have both. But what we're telling what our position is yes, you can. We are pro-woman.
Yes.
We want her to fully be the woman that God created her to be. And that includes giving life. It includes bearing children. And yes, if she has a career, a vocation, we want her to pursue that, and we will give her the resources or point her in the direction for those resources that are available to her, that she can choose life. And all of a sudden, the opportunities start to open up for her, and she realizes, this is not the end of my life. This is a bend in the road, but I can still get to the destination. I can still have my dream. I can still pursue my vision for my life. And it's going to be even better because you have this wonderful life now, this child in your life that is going to be a blessing forever.
Well, I'll tell you, as a pastor, I am thrilled. I'm just sitting here thrilled, thankful to God to know that you guys are out there doing this, that you opened up the new one in East Meadow, and that these sort of services are there. And, you know, I look forward to hearing and seeing so much more of it, but I'm so thankful for this start. We're going to take a really quick break. We'll be back after we hear from The Voice to the Pastor Study.
It's not enough to listen to pastors on the radio or to watch them on television. Everyone needs a biblically faithful pastor, and everyone needs a biblically faithful church. A Visit to the Pastor's Study is a ministry of the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches in the metropolitan New York area. We're no substitute for a faithful pastor in a local church, but we are a supplement. Visit our website, www.visitthepastorsstudy.org, and you'll find the ministry of this program extended right to your electronic device. Here you'll find archives of past programs, a weekly message from Pastor Bill's Pastor's Post, helps for pastors, helps for congregation members, material for officer training, and much more. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. And we also invite you to contact the host of this program, Pastor Bill Shishko. You can email him at visitpastorbill@gmail.com. He'd love to hear from you so that he can bring his pastoral ministry to you personally. That's visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Remember, everyone needs a pastor. And now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Welcome back to A Visit to the Pastor's Study. We're discussing abortion, what can Christians do about it. I'm here with Doreen Jansen from Soundview Pregnancy Services. Doreen, pastors, small group leaders, what can we do in preaching, teaching, church life? What can we do to learn more about Soundview and what you offer? How can we make changes in church life that include Soundview and the services you offer, but also take more of a role in responding to the abortions that are around us, whether we know it or not?
That's a good question. As far as what a pastor could do, and I am married to a pastor, so I understand the life of a pastor, is very busy. There are a lot of ministries out there vying for time and for money, and I understand that. But I believe that Soundview Pregnancy Services is more than just another ministry, just another organization. We are about saving the lives of God's children. That, to me, it just takes priority over just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a number of churches on Long Island that have come on board with Soundview in partnering with us, various ways of doing that. One of the most effective ways is to invite me or someone from our staff to come in and to do a presentation about who Soundview is. There I cannot tell you how many times that when I have gone out to a church and spoken, that there are people in the congregation that said, I wish I would have known that Soundview existed because I had a situation, or my friend or my daughter. And so this is a way to just communicate to the Christian community that there is a ministry available should you need it or know of someone who needs this ministry. But then beyond that, to not make this a one-time Mission Sunday focus, you know, just to, but to continue to cultivate a culture of life in your congregation in a compassionate manner, so that if there is a young girl sitting in your congregation who is scared to death to talk to you, to her parents, or anyone in her circle about the fact that I am now pregnant, now what do I do? That she would feel that there is an open door, that she is not going to be gossiped about, because that is very much a concern.
Mm-hmm.
In that LifeWay study, 65% of women feel that they're going to be more talked about than helped if they bring up pregnancy in the church. So the leaders of the churches have the power to influence the congregations on our attitudes toward women who are in crisis pregnancies and abortion.
Mm.
And I would also just ask them to just keep that conversation open and going. And if that's an uncomfortable place for you to be and to talk about from the pulpit, and pastors have various reasons for that, then I would be happy to come in and do a presentation on abortion. And it doesn't have to just be about abortion. It could really be more in a positive manner talking about building a culture of life.
Yeah. Please, everybody listening, whether you're a pastor or listening through the podcast or want to talk to your pastor or whoever about it, try to get into perspective what's going on here. You have life is in the balance, real life, real death options out there. And these things happen all the time. And we have Doreen here telling us about how when you get news that is incredibly hard to deal with and is so multifaceted, they have thought through very up-to-date, extraordinarily comprehensive, already worked out solutions where you can walk in with your entire life turned upside down and literally leave that same day feeling empowered to do something about it with an entire support team that's experienced in these things. This is a tremendous resource. So, again, if you're a pastor, if you want to talk to your pastor about it, please take note of this. It's Doreen Jansen, and why don't you just say once again the numbers of the two locations.
In our Nassau County Center, that's in East Meadow, it is 516-430-7990, and Center Reach is 631-676-7990.
Thank you, Doreen. We are going to wrap things up in 2 minutes. I'm going to pray to close the show. If you could, before that, I think it's probably the best time to do this. It's very possible we have somebody listening right now who has a pregnancy. Maybe they're the only one that know about it. And for all the reasons that you know and I know, but you know better than me, are thinking about an abortion. So could you just speak to whoever might be in that spot and offer them words of advice at this point, and then I'll close us in prayer.
Yes. The first thing I would say is you're not alone. You're not alone in this decision, and you don't have to make this decision on your own. There is help available. There are people that can walk alongside of you, and we are here for you if you want to give us a call. All of our services are free and confidential, so please call SoundView at one of those two numbers or look us up on the website. But also to understand that this is not the end of your life, that this is the beginning of a different path that you're going to be taking. And I have never met a woman who has regretted giving life to her child.
Wow. Never. All of the people you've worked with, and you've never had regret.
No one has ever regretted giving life to their child, but scores of women have regretted making an abortion decision. So I would just encourage whoever that young lady is who's sitting out there just wondering, how is she going to do this? How can I make this work? It's possible.
Yeah, reach out.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out
and
get in touch. Good, that's excellent. Let me close this in prayer. Father in heaven, we have discussed your people made in your image, and we are concerned about this, but fill us with grace and truth like Jesus himself. Make us to walk in his footsteps. Let us see that since Jesus was the friend of sinners, we must be friend of sinners. Let us see that our anger doesn't work the righteousness of God. And let us see that you take even the worst of sins and the worst of sinners, and that you transform them by your grace, make them trophies of your grace, and then you put them to work to preserve life, to save life, to build your kingdom, which will have no end. In your great name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to A Visit to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of Reformation Metro New York. Our website is www.reformationmetrony.org. Again, that's www.reformationmetrony.org. For more information on the program, check out our website at www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. visitthepastorsstudy.org. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. Listen in next week at 12 noon for another edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Remember, everyone needs a pastor.